Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Welcome to Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If we learn to live and think healthier, we begin to explore and focus on our strengths. Once we determine what our strengths are, we can use those gifts and talents to help others to heal. Helping others fosters congeniality. Congeniality facilitates peace and love. Now, here's your host, Terry Sue.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Frame of Mind. This is Terry Sue, and today the topic of discussion is on the benefits of children practicing yoga with my guest, Teresa Ann Power, author of the book, The ABCs of Yoga for Kids. Teresa Ann Power, avid yoga practitioner for the past 25 years, is the author of The ABCs of Yoga for Kids. Her book has won 8 awards, including a gold medal in the Mom's Choice Awards. For the past 8 years, she has taught yoga to young children, both in schools and at local organizations. She has spoken at numerous libraries, schools, bookstores, yoga studios, and school conferences. Teresa has also taught teacher training seminars at Children's Bureau and Pathways to help children from all walks of life be exposed to the health benefits of yoga. She's a member of the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators and the Independent Book Publishers Association and writes articles about children's health on examiner.com. She lives in Pacific Palisades, California with her husband and 2 teenage children. For more information, please visit Teresa's website at www.abcyogaforkids.com or contact her at teresa@abcyogaforkids.com. So welcome, Teresa.
Oh, thank you so much, Terry Sue. It's great to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you again. So let's begin by having you tell our listening audience a little bit about you and your own yoga practice.
Well, my own yoga practice, I really think it's important as a teacher to be able to practice what you preach, so to say. So I practice yoga 5 days a week. I try to practice 5 days a week. And it really helps me in my teaching for the kids and helps calm me down. And really, I find that just focusing on my breathing is easier when I practice the yoga. Everything seems to come together.
And so in what ways is yoga beneficial for children? I know that you've been a guest on my show before, and we were talking about your book, your wonderful book, The ABCs of Yoga for Children, and all of the different poses that are in there that make it so much easier for kids to understand the asanas that they're in. And so what ways do you think yoga is beneficial for children?
Well, yoga is actually just as beneficial for children as it is for adults, and but people don't realize that. A lot of parents will come up to me, oh, well, why does my 3-year-old child need to practice yoga? Well, it's because if they start at that early age, they really start to learn to focus in on themselves, to realize that taking care of themselves is important, and it really builds on better lifestyle habits as they get older. And some of the benefits of yoga for kids is yoga increases their focus and concentration, which actually helps out in school, and you know how important that is as a school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And it also builds balance and flexibility, and also in terms of school, that's important because it helps them in their PE classes or their sports. And it also enhances school performance by developing discipline and mental clarity. as well as helping with the cognitive functions of sequencing and memory. So a lot of kids that have problems keeping their mind focused or have problems with sequencing, the yoga, by that concentration and that effort, really helps with that process.
It also, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It also increases their coordination and strength, and it boosts self-awareness and self-confidence. And all these benefits also go for adults, too. It strengthens their fine and gross motor coordination. It improves their visual, motor, and auditory processing. And it really heightens their body awareness and self-control.
Okay, so coming from a teacher's point of view, in what ways would you say that yoga increases concentration and helps them focus and pay attention? You know, in what particular ways?
Well, you know what? That really is a great question. And yoga breathing really helps to keep students mindful and in the present moment. So teachers can actually ask the children simply to take several deep breaths in and out through their noses at the start of class. And this is a great gift that teachers can give to children, because kids can establish a habit of breathing deeply and slowly, and they'll have more endurance and patience. This type of breathing also helps calm children down and keeps them focused, as opposed to shallow mouth breathing, which can make them feel tense, irritable, and anxious. So part of the breathing, yoga really is about mindfulness. It's about breathing and doing the postures at the same time, but using the breath in the posture. So breathing becomes a very focal point of yoga.
So then let's discuss breathing. How would a child focus on their breathing?
Well, you know, I have this fun little exercise that I do with the kids that the teachers can do and anyone can do. It's basically, it's called Take Five. And you know how we say, before you get angry, just, you know, you take five. Or so basically, the kids love taking five doing their breathing. So what I have them do is sit up really tall in their chair, wherever they are, and just focus on taking a deep breath in through their nose for the count of five. And as they inhale, their stomach expands. And then they exhale for 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and their belly, they pull their stomachs in. So basically this kind of five-count breathing, inhale for the count of five, and exhale slowly for the count of five, really teaches them to take a moment, like taking a five, take five.
Yes.
And then I do this little, like, rhyming poem after I go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, yoga breathing surely is fun. So the kids really get a kick out of it, and it's a great, great gift to give children. It's learning how to focus on their breath just to regulate their own bodies.
And I guess just just with them being in the process of counting and paying attention to you know, their bodies while they're counting would make them mindful of what's going on inside of them.
Exactly. Exactly. It really does. And you'll be surprised. Go try it on your kids tomorrow. I mean, it doesn't take very much time. And it's whenever I teach teachers or talk to teachers, I always encourage them to do that, because it doesn't take much time. And it really, you can see a shift in the children if you do that.
I'll keep that in mind, yeah, because I have a few rambunctious ones this year, so that might be a good thing to help them. In what ways does yoga help them with their own personal posture and their movement?
Well, yoga really helps them with their own personal posture and movement through the different asanas or postures. So, for example, just, it really helps open up their posture. And again, getting back to the breathing, but for instance, in the tree pose, where they stand grounded and they bring one leg, standing on, let's say, their left leg, they bring their right leg up inside their thigh and stand there with their hands in prayer position. They really focus on their breathing and lifting up through their head and grounding down into the ground. That really helps them get a sense of their body. And it helps them, actually, it stretches their spine, makes them feel more open, and they have to concentrate to be able to balance there on one leg.
That's why your book is so good, because the illustrations also show them the actual pose that they're in. And say, for instance, if it is the tree pose, it illustrates why it's called the tree pose, and it makes it a lot of fun for the children to read and to then internalize what it is that the poses that, or asanas that you wanted them to practice. And well, so
you're right about that, and I'm glad you brought that up, because for me, I wanted to make yoga fun, especially for the younger children, because they're just starting to learn to focus on their bodies or to understand how their body works or to move around. And you don't want it to be too complicated at that age. You want it to be really simple and fun so that they have a love of it, so eventually they'll want to continue with the practice as they get older.
And usually the older children get, the more aware they are of their own body image. But in this case, I've noticed over the years that kids are, or students are, much more aware of their body image at a younger age. And so how does it help them with that body image to establish a sense of self-awareness?
Well, that's a great question, because kids who practice yoga definitely establish a sense of self-awareness, as yoga teaches them to be in the moment and to stay focused on what they're doing. They can't really be thinking about something else if they're using the example of the tree pose. If they're trying to, you know, practice balancing on the leg in the tree pose, their mind can't be wandering onto something else.
Mm-hmm.
So this in turn helps them with their own body image. They start to see their bodies change with regularly practicing the poses, and this ties into their self-awareness and self-regulation through the yoga postures, because honestly, as they continue to practice these poses, they get better at them, and then they feel good about themselves, and hey, you know, I see improvement, and a lot of times their bodies do change.
And they do become more flexible and coordinated.
Oh, definitely much more flexible and coordinated, and it really helps them in the sports, all the sports activities that they do.
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned sports activities, because whenever students are involved in any kind of teamwork where they all have a different role to play, and performance means a lot, how does yoga help to increase a sense of trust and compassion, especially when it comes to putting oneself in the place of another when playing a game or competitive sport of some sort?
Well, see, that's the thing. I think yoga is a non-competitive form of exercise.
Mm-hmm, I know.
What's great about it is when the kids are practicing the yoga, they realize that they're not competing against anyone else and that they're actually just doing what they can do in the posture.
Mm-hmm.
So that, in turn, gives them the confidence to be able to go out when they're practicing other sports and maybe feel, the kids that aren't as good at the sports may feel better about themselves once they get out there, because they find they're a little more flexible and they're better apt to do the sports. And I think also they have more compassion or seeing for other people. I think a lot of times the physical sports is all focused on, you know, the really good players, you know, or who is the best athlete at the time. And I think that yoga can really help foster this sense of not being so competitive that way, accepting each other as they are. You know, that some kids are built differently. Some kids are built to be great athletes. Other kids are built to be, you know, do something else. Everyone has their own special talents.
Yeah, I would like to continue that, our discussion on cooperation and compassion. When we come back, it's time for us to take a short break, though. And so this is Terry Sue with my guest, Teresa Ann Power. And you're listening to Frame of Mind on Voice America 7th Wave Channel and the Health and Wellness Channel. Stay tuned.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On CIO Talk Radio, we talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its risks. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, Sunjoe Gall interviews business leaders and other experts that are shaping the way we use technology. To learn more about the show, visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Keep up with the changing world of technology and listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjoe Gall. Listen in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on Voice America Business.
What would you do if you knew that you could not fail? The Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile is a radio forum for some of the world's most influential people in the fields of health, wellness, and human potential. Dr. Pat brings together and introduces visionary scientists and futurists, environmentalists, educators, business leaders, inventors, filmmakers, authors, artists, mystics, and healers who inspire and support individual and collective growth and positive cultural shifts. This award-winning radio show empowers the listening community to be the change they want to see in the world. Tune in every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific for the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile, radio to thrive by.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
You are tuned into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If you have a question or comment for our host, or just want to find out more about our program and an Ayurvedic lifestyle, please email terry.suehill@yahoo.com. That's terry.suehill@yahoo.com. Now back to Frame of Mind.
I'm back and continuing my discussion on children practicing yoga with my guest, Teresa Ann Power. So, Teresa, before we were talking about teamwork and a sense of compassion, and even though yoga is non-competitive, it does help kids to put themselves in another person's position and thereby creating a sense of compassion and empathy for another person. And so I was wondering, in what ways does it help them with their socialization and to connect with their peers with that in mind?
Yeah, and that's a very interesting question too, because kids connect with one another differently through practicing yoga as opposed to practicing other sports.
Mm-hmm.
As most sports are competitive, like we talked about earlier, and the kids that have better muscle control and coordination are often the more dominant in that arena. But yoga, on the other hand, is a non-competitive form of exercise, which we talked about. And thus, all the kids are in an even playing field. So without the competitive aspect, children can interact and socialize with one another in a positive environment. And I often hear kids praise one another for being good in a pose and at the same time being proud of themselves for how they're doing in that same posture. Kids tend to nurture and care about one another when they practice yoga, and they can't help but take those skills out when they out into the world that they're learning in the yoga environment.
And so a lot of them that are that feel a sense of empathy for their teammates may very well make the best leaders, because then they can offer advice and they can also model that sense of compassion that another teammate may have to think about feeling as they, you know, rather than, a lot of times children will make fun of each other. And instead of making fun of each other, kind of try to put yourself in the other person's place and see how you would feel if the same things were happening to you on a negative, you know, on a negative level. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you're saying, and it's so true, because even though, you know, we think of yoga as just being, you know, breath and movement or the yoga postures, there's so much more to it, just because it really does teach these internal skills that you're talking about. And as for leadership skills, I couldn't agree with you more, that once children learn to respect themselves and others, which they do through their yoga practice, they're ready to take those skills out into the world around them. So a good leader is focused, both mentally and spiritually, and cares about helping others. A good leader is also disciplined, calm, and in control. And these important skills can be cultivated through the practice of yoga.
Okay. So let's go back to yoga. Well, we all know that yoga means union, and union of the mind, body, and spirit, but I would also imagine that with yoga, creating a sense of union with oneself, that a child would then be able to create unity with others on a congenial level. How do you feel about that?
I agree with you. And I think that's that whole thing we were talking about how it helps to increase a sense of trust and compassion, so that unity, they take that out into the world. So definitely, the skills that the children learn in yoga are definitely go out into the world. And I heard somewhere recently, which is true, I believe, is that you really can't change the world, but you can change yourself. And one person at a time changing themselves, we can change the world. And I think that if more children focused on the practice of yoga, on focusing on their breathing, becoming centered and whole within themselves, that one person at a time is going to create a domino effect that will eventually change the world.
So I would imagine that with the flexibility and coordination comes a flexible and coordinated disposition on a social level as well. So, I mean, they would be able to adjust to pretty much any situation because they have that compassion.
I couldn't agree more. Kids who practice yoga definitely have a flexible and coordinated disposition. And they almost become immune to things, too, because they get really strong and focused. And it really builds up their both mental and physical strength so that things don't bother them as much, too.
Yeah. And the ability to just kind of let go and let the universe take care of it is a really good way. Because I know some of the smallest things to us from an adult standpoint are some of the largest things that matter to children. And those children who can be a little bit more flexible and let things go are the ones that seem to be more well-adjusted, so to speak, because they are able to just find other means to focus on something that's maybe a little bit more important. And just a little bit more important than some of the things that they consider important that we don't. He took my toy, or he has the ball, and it was my day to have the ball. And I find that I have the ball day. The ball days: Monday is table one, Tuesday is table two, and so forth. And sometimes to keep them from fighting over who gets the equipment for the day. And I find that a lot of times, and I look to see which parents are practicing yoga, because I know some of them do. And some of their children, it's amazing, and it's really pleasurable to see. Some of those are the ones that can easily just say, okay, I can go play handball, or I can go take a book and sit under the tree and read. And it's really refreshing to see how they make that adjustment, or they can compromise with another student to get in some other activity rather than fight over who gets the ball and waste the whole recess time all together.
Well, you know, I hear what you're saying, and it kind of reminds me of the old expression, water off a duck. You know, some people just, you know, not let anything affect them and just be able to move freely to something else. And you brought up an interesting point I thought I might just elaborate on about the parents practicing yoga. And I really believe that if parents practice yoga, they're getting that all those benefits that we talked about earlier the parents are getting. And so they're really sharing that sense of goodness in themselves to their children in terms of how they raise their children. And also, kids tend to be really excited to want to do yoga if their parents do. I mean, they want to do what their parents do. So it's really exciting that they can... one of the reasons why I wrote this book, so that kids can have something that they can do with their parents and feel really, so to say, grown up when they're doing it.
Which brings me to another question that, as you were talking, you know how you have the teen years can be a little bit rebellious. Has it been your experience that the teenagers who are practicing yoga, whose parents practice yoga, are they a little bit more... receptive to practice doing something that their parents do rather than try not to do something that their parents do, because it's no longer the cool thing to do. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. It's kind of a tricky question, because I think if the kids are exposed to yoga at an early age, I think they find it naturally interesting and they want to keep on going with it. And there are family yoga classes that they can get involved with. And yes, in the teenage years, sometimes they do want to rebel and maybe not do what the parents want them to do per se. But if they've been exposed to it, then
they won't do
it in their teenage years, but they'll do it later on. I think the problem, because I do have a teenager myself, and I think one of the problems with the yoga, not that he doesn't want to do it, because he has gone to yoga classes in the past, and he could certainly go on his own, but they get very busy with all their activities. Like he plays club volleyball, and he's playing a lot of volleyball in the schoolwork. And I think sometimes to take, an hour and a half out for a yoga class is a lot. So that's why I'm trying to spread the message more of teachers in school, even in high school, to incorporate yoga into the school setting, because that way kids can gain the benefits from it without making a choice after school whether going to a yoga class or playing a club sport or whatever they're going to be doing.
Mm-hmm. So what about children coping with anger management? How does yoga help with that? And I can kind of answer my own question in a way just by some of the answers to the other questions that you've provided us with. But how would it help children to cope with anger management? Would they use some of the breath or the pranayama?
Yes, definitely. You have it right there. One of the main ways that yoga can help children cope with anger management is learning how to focus on their breath, because that really helps to control anger. Because take, for example, you hear about counting to 10 before you say something. If you're mad, to count to 10. And just taking that little break, your mood shifts. So the same thing goes for breathing. So a child can learn to take several deep breaths. And remember how I said earlier that it's really important for kids to breathe in and out through their nose, because that's more deep breathing. It really gets deep and it helps to calm them down. It actually expands their lungs, as opposed to the shallow mouth breathing that can make them feel kind of tense or irritable. And so I always try to teach kids that whenever a situation comes up where they're just angry or they want this or they're mad at someone, there's nothing wrong with anger in itself. It's a normal human emotion. But instead of just, lashing out right away, just to practice that breathing, even the take five, just take a deep breath in for the count of five, and then exhale for the count of five, and just see if things shift a little bit. And a lot of times they do. And I also wanted to say that kids can exert a lot of energy holding a lot of these yoga poses. For instance, even for downward dog, if they get good at it, they can actually hold it for quite a period of time. And that really takes a lot of muscle control. And this form of exercise is also good for anger management, because by breathing and being in the postures and using their muscles, it's a way to dispel some of that energy.
I want to revisit that when we come back from our break, but this is Terry Sue with my guest, Teresa Ann Power, and you're listening to Frame of Mind on Voice America Seventh Wave Channel and the Health and Wellness Channel. Stay tuned.
Which guests are being featured this week? Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Entrepreneurial Insights is your weekly excursion into the world of business ownership. Presented by Sunbelt Business Brokers, the leading business brokerage and intermediary firm in the world, Entrepreneurial Insights will examine critical issues that impact both existing and prospective business owners. If you own or want to own a small business, listen for Entrepreneurial Insights with John Davies, Pino Bocinello, and Matt Ottaway, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You are tuned into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If you have a question or comment for our host, or just want to find out more about our program and an Ayurvedic lifestyle, please email terry.suehill@yahoo.com. That's terry.suehill@yahoo.com. Now back to Frame of Mind.
Once again, welcome back, everyone. I'm continuing my discussion with my guest, Teresa Ann Power, on the benefits of children practicing yoga. Teresa, before break, we were talking about using the breath to cope with anger management, but another part of managing one's emotions has to do with managing stress. And sometimes students, kids can bring things to school that have happened at home, or sometimes things happen on the playground that don't necessarily have to do with something like taking a ball or taking some of the equipment that's on that they wanted to use as opposed to someone else who wanted to use it. It goes a little bit beyond that, and they have some sensitivities that they're trying to deal with. So how would yoga help a child to manage stress?
Well, stress is actually defined as a feeling of emotional or physical tension, and that could come, like you said, from something that's going on at home, or it could be, I mean, there's so many reasons why, you know, we get stressed. And kids today are faced with such pressure and stress from the fast-paced modern society in which we live. In addition, they're under tremendous pressure to achieve. So practicing yoga can really help reduce these stress levels by healing and cleansing the mind and body. For instance, stress can result in physical tension in the body, and the stretches and twists which kids practice in yoga, combined with the deep breathing we talked about, can really help their body loosen up tight muscles, stretch their spine, and relieve stress on their discs and joints, because the stress that they're emotionally carrying can really settle itself into their bodies. So by practicing these poses, it really helps to just flush that stress out of them. And furthermore, a person's attitude can influence whether a situation is emotional or whether a situation or emotion is stressful. So, and that is the same for kids as well. So yoga for kids helps build a positive mental outlook, which can aid in how children handle stress. Yoga really gives kids the tools to transform stress into positive energy and to help them to relax and sort out what is important from what's not. And that really goes back to what we talked about earlier about how a certain child, if they're more relaxed and easygoing, they're not going to get so upset if things don't go their way or if they don't get what they want.
So developing a skill to prioritize, that would be a very mature thing. When I'm talking from a second grade teacher's point of view, but that would be a very mature thing for a little second grader to do. I know that I was sharing with another guest about prioritizing, helping students to prioritize what is the most important thing that you need to get out of the way, because a lot of times we have a lot of projects that are loose ends, and they want to know what needs to be done first, next, then after that, and finally. And so helping them to prioritize does help to alleviate some of the stress. And I also know that I shared with the audience the last time I interviewed you about using your book to help students just before test time in the spring. And it really does help them to take, we take our deep breaths, and we also, I have them sit on the rug, and we sit in a circle. And then we just kind of breathe and close our eyes. And then we start to think about all of the things that we're thankful for. So having a sense of gratitude has a lot to do with a child, how well a child is receptive to any kind of task that's coming their way, because they have so many other things to be thankful for. Things don't seem to be as stressful to them because they are at ease, that people love them, they have a safe place to live, they, you know, all of those kinds of things. And it kind of helps to calm a child down. So not only did we do the some of the poses in your book, we also practice breathing and closing our eyes and being thankful for the things that we have.
I think that's wonderful. I wish more teachers would do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I really do. I think that's so important. And it really starts with their minds and shifting, just that little mind shift to what they're grateful for can really is the first step towards having peace in their minds and being able to feel safe and secure.
Which brings me to my next question. In what ways does yoga help an individual to, in a way, gain a certain level of emotional equilibrium?
Well, just the same way what we were talking about earlier, is it really just creates that balance in the children's body. And it can they can definitely gain a certain level of emotional equilibrium from being in balance with themselves, because once they take that deep breath, they focus on what they're grateful for, they hold a posture and feel the confidence and the sense of accomplishment of holding that posture or being able to get their bodies to work in a way to get themselves into a certain posture. That really is the whole start of it. And what I wanted to say too is that a lot of these benefits and a lot of what we're talking about, it just happens. It's not something that the kids need to know about or like
right.
tell them that this is going to happen, you know, because basically all of what we're talking about is just so parents can understand why it's important for their children to practice yoga. But all of this happens over time. And I think that what's really important is that kids learn that yoga is not the a magic pill or anything, that mm-hmm. you just swallow once and everything's great, but that over time, over continued practice, over, you know, that really these benefits just keep on coming and coming, and it really can help their lives and change them dramatically.
So with that, we've been talking about yoga positions. We've been talking about breath. So are there any breathing techniques that you can share with us on the air together? Can you guide us through one?
Well, let's do one right now, because I okay. think that's good. It's the same thing as the take five, but we can actually sit and do it together, and anyone in the audience can do it as well. So if you're sitting down in a chair, just sit up real straight and feel okay. like someone is lifting your head up to the ceiling, and yet your feet are grounding down into the floor. So you feel like even when you're sitting down, your spine is really stretching up and down. Mm-hmm. And then just close your eyes for a moment, and your hands can rest comfortably in your lap. And just take a deep breath. I'll just take a deep breath for the count of five. So and when you're inhaling, let your stomach expand out. So inhale and let your stomach out for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then hold your breath at the top. Just for a second, keep that breath in. And then slowly exhale through your nose for 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And just feel a sense of like calm and ease. Just how like your body can really shift in your mind when you just relax, knowing that everything's safe. You're just grounded there in the spot that you're in the moment.
Yeah, that it feels really good. The combination of having your eyes closed and breathing and being aware of how you're breathing, all of that has to do with just kind of centering you and relaxing you. And I enjoy it. And I know that it most of the time, it'll take a lot of repetition for some adults and for some children before those techniques kind of kick in at the right time when they need them under stressful situations, that they would just automatically go to that. So they would have to be continuously reminded to use those techniques. Or if we see something like that, and this time I'm talking to parents, I'm also asking for your advice or confirmation if I'm on the right track. But whenever we see our children maybe under some stress, we ask them to use some of those techniques and kind of guide them through it, at just like you did just now, so that when it does happen, if they've practiced it enough that way, then it will naturally kick in when it's supposed to.
And I agree with you there. And I actually, when I was teaching at a school, taught there the whole year to these preschool students, and one of the moms came up to me and told me that her son, he got really stressed out because his sister stole something from him. And he goes, "Mom, I'm going to go over and breathe." And he went over and breathed and took some deep breaths. And I think that, you know, you're right, though. They have to be reminded. I mean, repetition is the mother of skill. They need to be reminded about it. But I think if more teachers could just incorporate that simple focusing on the breathing into their, even if they started class, just with everyone taking a deep breath, it really makes a difference. And the kids love it, always.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it affects anyone. I mean, even young kids will do it. And you can even, as a parent, make a little fun look inside joke with them, like, you know, oh, it's time to take five, you know, or something fun to get them, you know, to want to go and just, you know, stop what they're doing and breathe.
Yes. Well, it's time for us to take another break. So this is Terry Sue with my guest, Teresa Ann Power, and you're listening to Frame of Mind on Voice America's Seventh Wave Channel and the Health and Wellness Channel. So stay tuned.
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
To perform at your maximum potential, you need to have all aspects of your life working properly. On Mind, Brain, and Body, Dr. Michael John Kell will bring you honest, open discussions concerning your physical, mental, and financial health. If you're ready to find purpose and meaning in your life, tune in to Mind, Brain, and Body every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific. Mind, Brain, and Body on Voice America Health and Wellness. Radio dedicated to your health, wealth, wisdom, and purpose.
Goodbye, self-critical. Hello, self-thrilled. Can you define your talent in 6 words or less? Are you using your inner resource, intuition, to teach you how? Listening to Joyce Anderson of Conversations with Yourself will work your intuitive muscle to discover your divine talent. Each week, your host, Joyce Anderson, teaches practices to jumpstart your intuition as your GPS to becoming self-thrilled. From sports to business to music and food, talent is everywhere. Find yours. Joyce and her guests will share their how-to stories on being self-thrilled. Tune in to Conversations with Yourself, Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the 7th Wave Channel, and ignite your talent.
Be extraordinary. 7th Wave Network.
You are tuned into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. If you have a question or comment for our host, or just want to find out more about our program and an Ayurvedic lifestyle, please email terry.suehill@yahoo.com. That's terri.suehill@yahoo.com. Now back to Frame of Mind.
Once again, welcome back, everyone, and we're continuing our discussion on the benefits of yoga with children with Teresa Ann Power. And so, Teresa, it's often been said that people, not just children who are stressed out, have a lower immune system. Is yoga a means of helping to raise the immune system by helping to eliminate stress?
The answer is most definitely yes. In order to rejuvenate your body's natural defense system, you need to relax. So relaxation and rest can cure many diseases, And as we discussed earlier, yoga can really reduce stress and tension to help children learn to relax and be at ease with themselves. And also the yoga poses, a lot of them do work on strengthening your immune system, because yoga is different than other forms of exercise in that it really works all your internal glands and organs, especially a lot of times when you're twisting. So basically you are kind of flushing out toxins out of your body and making it easier for your body to remain strong and immune from getting sick as often.
And also what we were talking about before with the self-calming techniques, that would certainly help a lot.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, as we talked about, yoga teaches children how to relax, concentrate, and how to be quiet and still, even through that breathing, like I said. And the breathing, by the way, besides just focusing on it on their own, it's really important for the kids to focus on their breath while they're in the postures, because mm-hmm. that's what really makes yoga different than other kinds of exercises, is the added element of breath while they're in the postures.
So when would you say is the best time for a child to take a yoga class to get the most benefits from the experience, during the week or on the weekends?
Well, actually, the beauty of yoga is it can be practiced anytime and really anywhere. Ideally, I would like to see more teachers, which I've talked about earlier, incorporating simple yoga poses into the school curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
Children benefit in many ways from doing yoga at school. On the most basic level, children learn that relaxation is valuable and part of their education. However, kids can practice yoga on their own after school or on weekends. That is actually why I wrote the ABCs of Yoga for Kids, is to make yoga accessible to all children, especially those who don't have access to a yoga class or yoga at their school. But basically, to answer your question, there is no right or wrong time to practice yoga. I mean, they can practice in the afternoon, they can practice on the weekends. It really doesn't matter as long as they don't eat a big meal right before they practice yoga, because that interferes kind of with some of the postures.
Yeah, I'm going to come back to that in a minute or two, but what I was thinking about when I was asking the question, I know that students or kids are in a lot of activities. And so my question was, when do you think the best time to take yoga? Would it be like after soccer or before they go to soccer class? And it seems to me that, and the reason why I was asking is because, sometimes they might need to calm down before going to a soccer game, only to get revved up again. or wait and get all of that energy out of their system by taking the soccer class. I mean, by going to soccer practice and then relaxing with yoga, calming down with yoga. So that's, I was looking at it in several different ways, and that's why I was asking.
Oh, well, I see what you're saying now, and I really, my personal take on it is that kids really should, it would be more beneficial to practice some yoga practices poses before soccer as opposed to afterwards. I think afterwards they're going to, first of all, you don't want to throw too much into the kids' afternoon, because they're going to get really stressed out.
Right.
So basically, I don't even think that they'd probably want to do a yoga class and soccer practice in the same day, because they may find that's just too much stress for them.
Yeah.
But if they could practice some simple yoga exercises, you know, with a coach or something before yoga practice, that would definitely help them. Mm-hmm. But I think that would honestly be too much. But one way they can utilize yoga is at night. I've had a lot of kids tell me that they like to practice at night before they go to bed. They do some of the more calming floor postures, and it really helps them relax before they go to bed.
Mm-hmm. And then going back to the nutritional part, what kinds of foods? I know that you were saying that they should probably not eat before going to a yoga class, but what kinds of foods would be beneficial for getting the most out of a yoga session?
Well, right before
they had to have something on their stomach.
Yeah, if they're going to have anything on their stomach, because a lot of times after school kids are hungry, so they want mm-hmm. snacks. So if they were going to practice after school, then and they were going to have a snack first, you'd want them to have just common sense snack
mm-hmm.
of fruit, maybe some grapes, some apples, some melon, any sort of pear, some sort of fruit, which will give them that natural energy, but it won't be weighting down heavily on them. You don't want them to eat a lot of heavy food.
Double cheeseburger and a milkshake.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's, you know, too many crackers or anything like that. More just like healthy, like either maybe some nuts or maybe some fruit or carrots or something that's a little bit lighter if they're going to eat anything at all, because it won't interfere so much with the poses. For instance, like, you know, the pretzel pose that's listed in my book under the P letter of the alphabet, that really, you're twisting across your body, across all your digestive organs. So basically, if you have too much food in your stomach, it's going to interfere with the process of that.
All right. And so what, how do I want to say this? Actually, we've already pretty much covered this, and I was going to say, in a world of competition, How does a non-competitive environment help create a balance in the lives of young people? But I think that we've already answered that question by talking about how it creates a sense of compassion for others, and in having compassion for others and putting yourself in the place of others, you're more sympathetic and sensitive to the needs of others, and thereby creating more of a sense of unity, because then people don't feel threatened or intimidated by maybe one person excelling or being better, so to speak, at a game of some sort than another, and instead teaching and helping each other to improve in their whatever areas of weakness, and then thereby helping to strengthen those areas that need to be strengthened.
Exactly. I agree with you. And I think, yeah, and I want to add that yoga really teaches the kids about what's really important, which is themselves.
That's right.
Because
that's
by
right.
Focusing inward, they learn self-confidence and an inner sense of well-being.
Yeah, and then thereby fostering human compassion.
Exactly.
Yeah. And now, one of the last things that I wanted to talk to you about and make sure that we covered is children with special needs, ADD, attention deficit disorder, ADHD, attention deficit hyperactive disorder, and autism and cerebral palsy syndrome. So how, in what ways is yoga beneficial?
You know, that's such a great question, and especially nowadays, I mean, so many people have come up to me and asked me that, and the many benefits of practicing yoga are especially helpful for children with special needs, because yoga works on, we talked about, both relaxing and strengthening the children's muscles, and for example, yoga works on both relaxing and strengthening children's muscles, like I said, as well as developing flexibility and coordination. And they can also help with the cognitive functions, such as concentration, focus, sequencing, and memory, which we talked about earlier. And those are so important with these children with special needs whose neurotransmitters just aren't, you know, connecting that way. So yoga really helps zero in on that area of their memory. And when the kids with special needs, when they practice really simple yoga poses, they learn how to control their energy so they can focus and concentrate better. And also, children with special needs further learn self-acceptance, self-esteem, and body awareness through the practice of yoga. They learn to accept their limitations through the practice of yoga. And I have found a really wonderful book that has been around for a long time that many yoga studios use for kids with special needs, is Yoga for the Special Child by Sonia Sumar, and she really outlines the exercises that can be helpful for working with children with special needs, and it's just a really wonderful book that I would suggest for anyone out there who wants.
What's the name of it again?
Called Yoga for the Special Child.
Okay.
By Sonia Sumar, S-U-M-A-R. And it's a wonderful book. You can look it up on Amazon or on the internet to find it. But that really is a very helpful book.
Oh, wow. Thank you. I know that over the years, I've observed many students that had ADD or ADHD, and also autistic children, and they will zero in on a particular bodily motion, and some it will help them to focus. Sometimes there are things that they have in their hand. Sometimes it'll be if there is eye contact of some sort that will help them to remember what it is that they're supposed to be, what task they're supposed to complete. And so I'm thinking with yoga, that can be yet another tool that they can use to gain focus.
And also, yes, because they do have trouble with the focus. And also, though, a lot of these children with special needs have, very high brain functioning in certain areas, and others mm-hmm. it's harder for them. And
yes.
they love things that stand out, that just mm-hmm. stand out to them. Like I saw in 60 Minutes the other night about how they all love, they're having a lot of progress with using the iPad for these children and helping children that are autistic communicate through the iPad and the pictures on it. And I was thinking that my book, I have taught a few classes for kids with special needs, and the kids seem to love the colorful illustrations in my book, and that my illustrator, Kathleen Reitz, who is just absolutely fantastic, captured the kids in these poses with little animals or whatever's going on to incorporate in it. For example, the bird pose. Mm-hmm. There's a little boy doing the pose with some birds next to him. And especially these kids with special needs are drawn towards these just fun, vibrant, colorful illustrations to show exactly how to do it, that they almost want to emulate the pose.
Well, you see, Teresa, this is why I like to have you on. The time has gone by much too quickly. But I would like to once again thank my guest, Teresa Ann Power, for sharing her passion for helping children create a healthy, balanced lifestyle by practicing yoga and integrating it into their own lifestyle. And so, Teresa, if our listeners would like to find out more, how can you be reached once again?
Oh, yes. They can go to my website at abcyogaforkids.com to find out more about the ABCs of Yoga for Kids. And, yes, and if they want to reach me personally by email, you can email me at Teresa, T-E-R-E-S-A, at abcyogaforkids.com.
And I want to thank you, my listening audience, for tuning in to Frame of Mind today, and I hope that you've enjoyed our time together. I'd like to ask you to think about someone you know who could be helped or served by this knowledge and share it with them. In the meantime, have a great weekend and live in peace and love, everyone, and enjoy your day. Bye.
We hope that you've enjoyed our program this week. Please join your host, Terry Sue, again next weekend. We'll be here Saturdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on 7th Wave Network. Until then, focus on your strengths. Live and think healthier this week. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the 7th Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.